Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Samach Beis. We left off on daf Samach Aluf Amud Beis Atanu Rabbanon, all the way at the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha LeHashalom, also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, and also by Simeon Moshe Klein, Lili Zuchus, and Rufu Shalema, for Rafael Moshe Elimelech Ben Bashi, Shlev Rufu Shalema, B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. So as I mentioned, we're up to Tanur Rabbanon, four lines from the bottom of the page, on Samach Aluf and Beis, and the Brisa that we're going to quote is going to be about Tamun Be'esh. We already know that there is a machlokas about Tamun Be'esh, and that there are certain cases where each side is moda to the other side, so this Brisa is going to repeat those ideas and teach us some new dinim as well. And then the Gemara is going to talk about if you were mistaken about the value of some item that you're guarding. Someone tells you, here, watch this silver item for me, and it turns out that it was gold, so do you only have to pay for the silver because that's what you accepted to be shomer, or do you have to pay for what the item actually was? Then the Gemara is going to talk about how do we determine the value of that which was tamun be'esh. I mean, it's all burnt, so I don't know what was hidden there. The guy claims that something very valuable was hidden there, and how do we determine the value when you master something, when you tell the government to take away someone's property, and you don't know exactly what the government took? The guy who was taken from claims that it was, or you just go over to something in a box and you just kick it into the ocean. You didn't see what was inside that box. You have no idea what you were mazik. So how do we determine the value of these items to determine what you're going to have to pay? Then the Gemara, almost inexplicably, at the end of the Amud, switches gears and talks about the difference between a gazlan and a chamsan. Doesn't really seem to relate to the rest of the sugya, but that's what the Gemara does. Then the Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis is going to close up the sugya of Eish by telling us a number of unusual cases of Eish and a particular halacha relating to Ner Chanukah that does damage, which we may be able to derive from our Mishnah. Then, Be'ez Hashem, we will begin the seventh parak, Parak Meruba. And Parak Meruba starts with a Mishnah that tells us, when is it that a person pays Kefel? What items do you have to steal in order to pay Kefel? And when do we pay Dalet Vehei? And it's going to highlight specifically how the payments of Dalet Vehei are more limited than the payments of Kefel. I mean, not the payments, but the situations in which one pays Dalet Vehei are more limited than the situations in which one pays Kefel. And the Gemara is going to have a couple of deos or a discussion as to whether a Toein Tainus Ganav pays Dalet Vehei. What if a person didn't actually steal, he was just asked to be a shomer? And then when the guy came to get his item back, you say, oh, I'm sorry, it was stolen from me, I do not have it. But it turns out it wasn't stolen from you. You took it for yourself, you shechted it, you sold it. So do you pay Dalet Vehei when you are a Toein Tainus Ganav? And then at the end of the daf, going well into tomorrow's daf, there's going to be a discussion where we derive which items one pays kefel for from a drush of a klalu pratu klal in the psukim in the Torah. So let's begin four lines from the end of the page on daf samach aluf amud beis tanu rabbanan. So the Brisa again elaborates on this din of tamun be'esh. Hamadlikas hagadish vayibo kelim vidolku, that someone lights a gadish on fire, there were kelim hidden in that gadish, and they were also burned in the fire. Rabbi Yehuda omer mishan kol ma'ashay b'tocho. Rabbi Yehuda says you pay for whatever was in that gadish, including whatever kelim were hidden in there. V'chamor meinu mishalim ela gadish shel chitin or gadish shel sa'orin. No, you only have to pay a gadish shel chitin, gadish shel sa'orin, which is what it looked like from the outside. You do not have to pay for the kelim that were hidden in there. V'roen mekom kelim ki'iluhu malei tvua. And you view the space that the kelim took up within the pile as if that was tevua. So if it was a pile of chitin, you view the space that the kelim took up as if it was chitin, and then we assess what would this pile have been worth if the entire thing was chitin, even those spaces where the kelim were. The Chazon Ish raises the question, but there were kelim there. There was not chitin there. How do you say roin? There was not a gadish. It was just kelim. Why should I pay for the value of a gadish? And if, look, you can tell me I'm pata from kelim. Good, so I'm pata from kelim. So I should be chayiv on what I did damage. I shouldn't be chayiv on what I might have damaged had it actually been in there. That's very hypothetical. So the Chazon Ish writes that the value of the tavua in the makom that would have replaced the kelim is not considered tamun, because it's nikar mibachutz that something is there. Meaning the whole gadish would have caved in had something not been there. So it is nikar from looking at the pile that something must be there. It's just that you have the right to assume that which is there is chitin. So we look at it as far as value. I think I'm burning down something that's worth $500. Turns out it's worth $750 because there are kelim hidden in there. But I'm going to pay for the up until the value of what I thought I was burning down. And from the outside, it looks like an entire pile of chitin. That's how the Chazon Ish understands this halacha. The Braisa goes on, Bamed var mamurim, when do we say that the chum pater you for tamun be'esh? That's b'madat b'tok shalov alcha v'dolka b'tok shal chavero. That's if I light in my own property and the fire extends and goes to someone else's property and burns down his gadish. Aval madat b'tok shal chavero. But if I light a gadish that's in my friend's property and that's where I start the fire, then discussion whether we say divrei akol. Let's say like Rashi, mishalim kol ma shahaya b'tokho. Then Rashi has divrei akol, mishalim kol ma shahaya b'tokho. The way Rashi has the gear says we do include the word divrei akol. Everyone would agree you pay for the kelim that are inside of it. Why would you or wouldn't you be gores divrei akol? So Tosfos writes, don't have the words divrei akol, because according to the Chamim, you don't pay on an arnik shebegadish. You don't pay on something that would be totally unexpected to be inside the gadish. That would be totally unusual to be inside the gadish. However, Rashi writes that we are gores the words divrei akol, and he says we're talking about the types of kelim that people typically hide, and clay habakar and things like that, that people would typically hide in a gadish, and since that's all the Bryce is referring to, so then yeah, divrei akol, that you would have to pay kol mashahaya bitocho. Umod Rabbi Yehuda l'cham, and Rabbi Yehuda is going to be moded to the cham that there's one case that even Rabbi Yehuda is going to say you're pater on tamun. B'mashil makom l'chavero l'hagdish gadish, that if I give you a space in my property to make a pile of grain, v'higdish, and you made a pile of grain, v'hitmin, and then you hid other things in that pile of grain, and now my fire burns up that pile of grain that I allowed you to put in my rishus. So I'm only going to be chayiv. You're not chayiv midinis keisho. You're chayiv on beyond that which I gave the guy rishus to put in here, because whatever I gave the guy rishus to put in here, that's what I accepted to be shomer. So that which my fire damages, I'm only going to be chayiv up until the value of what I allowed him to do, and I did not tell him to put other items here. Just that I gave him the right to make a gadish. Shein mishalim el to make gadish b'lvad. You're only going to pay the value of the gadish and not the value of the kelim that the fellow decided to be matmin in the gadish. Similarly, lahagdish chitin vehigdish sa'orin, if I gave him the right to make a pile of wheat, but he made a less expensive pile of barley, which is considered to be less valuable than wheat, or sa'orin vehigdish chitin, a pile, I told him he can put sa'orin here, but he decided to put something more expensive, he put chitin here, or chitin vechipin v'sa'orin, or I gave him the right to put chitin, and he made a pile of chitin, but then he covered it with sa'orin, so the whole external layer is sa'orin, so it looks like it's a pile of sa'orin, or sa'orin v'chipin b'chitin. I gave him the right to put sa'orin here, and he made a pile of sa'orin, but then he made it look from the outside like it's a pile of chitin. In all those cases, she'en l'mashalim el d'mei sa'orin b'lvad, you're only going to pay d'mei sa'orin. You're not going to have to pay the more expensive chitin. Why? So let's go case by case. Where I let him put a gadish of chitin, and he put a gadish of sa'orin in here, so I burnt a gadish of sa'orin. So good, so I'm going to pay for sa'orin. I'm not going to pay anything more than that. In fact, that halacha seems abundantly obvious, right? Obviously, I'm only going to, that it looked like sa'orin. It was sa'orin. I burnt sa'orin, right? And so, of course, I'm only going to pay sa'orin. So the Rimi L'Nil writes that we're talking about that there were kelim that were tmunim in there, and the Nizik Tainas that even though you're patur on tamun, but you should at least pay the value that it would have been had those kelim been chitin, because I was was allowed to put chitin here. So, okay, I put something less expensive than chitin begadol, but in certain spots, I put something more expensive than chitin. So in the spots where I put something more expensive than chitin, at least you should pay me on those spots, you should pay me for the chitin. So kamash malon, that no, you only pay for a pile of sa'orin. That's the chiddush. Now, in the case where I told him he could put sa'orin here, and he put chitin here, so I never accepted to be shomer something that was the value of chitin. I only accepted shmira up until the value of sa'orin, and that's why I only pay sa'orin. In the case where I told him he could put chitin here, and he did, but then he covered it with sa'orin, so even though the damage happened to chitin, and I accepted upon myself damages for chitin, but I could say that since you covered it with sa'orin, I wasn't as careful, because I figured that if the worst comes to worst, I'm only going to have to pay for a pile of sa'orin, because that's what this looks like to me. And in the fourth case, where I lend you the space for sa'orin, and then you cover on the outside with chitin, so the only thing that was actually damaged was sa'orin. And if the only thing that was actually damaged was sa'orin, I'm obviously only going to pay sa'orin. Shitukmetza says, isn't that pashut? If all that was actually damaged was sa'orin, obviously I'm only going to pay sa'orin. So the Rimi Lanil writes that the chiddush is that even though most of the gadish is sa'orim, I don't have to pay on the miut that you covered with chitin that you were machne shelo bereshuso. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Amarava, Hanosin dinar zav leisha. If a guy gives a golden coin to a woman, the Nimuka Yosef points out the fact that it's a woman over here is totally irrelevant. The Nimuka Yosef quotes him, it could be you give a golden coin to a man. It's just that we say Isha because by Inyane Kiddushin we always say Hanosin Dinar Li Isha. So normally when we talk about someone Nosin Dinar to somebody, usually it's a man to a woman in the context of Kiddushin. But over here we're in Seder Nezikin. We're not in Kiddushin. This has nothing to do with a man or a woman. So Hanosin Dinar Zav Li Isha. A man gives a Dinar Zav to anybody, to another human being. Va'amrala, or a human being, the guy, person giving doesn't have to be a man either, right? I mean, and he says to her, Hizaribo, be careful, shalkesefu, it's silver, so this is valuable. It was really gold, it was really even more valuable. Hizikato, if she damaged it, be a dayim, she burnt it, she threw it into the ocean, mishalem es dinozav, she has to pay for a dinozav, even though she didn't know that it was a dinozav. Mishum da amarla, because the nosin can say to her, my havelich gabe da azikte, what was the reason that you went and damaged it? A mazik has to pay for the damage of whatever it is that they damaged. But Pashabo, but if she didn't go and physically damage it, she was just posheya in the shmira of the item, then mishalem mishal kesef, then she only has to pay for a dinar shal kesef. The amrale, because she can say back to him, nitirusa de kasba kabili alai, nitirusa de davalo kabili alai, I accepted upon myself to watch something of that has the value of silver, and that's the amount of achrayus I accepted upon myself. I didn't accept upon myself the achrayus of something that was made out of gold, and therefore for my pshia, I'm only going to pay for that which is silver. Amalei Rav Mordechai the Ravashi, Atun b'derava masnisula, you say this in the name of Rava, this din, that if you tell her it's a dinar shel kesef, that she's only chayiv from the perspective of shmira, she's only chayiv up until the value of kesef, but anan mi masnisa pshitalan, we don't need an amora to teach me this halacha, we already derived it from the braisa that we just quoted, that chitin v'chipin b'sa'orin, we said that if I give you the right to put wheat in my field, and you did put wheat, but then you covered it with sa'orin, you covered it with barley, or sa'orin v'chipin b'chitin, I gave you the right to put sa'orin in my field, and you covered it with wheat, einu mishalem el dmei sa'orin b'lvad, and my fire damages this whole pile, I'm only going to pay for sa'orin, even in that first case where you were madgish chitin and you covered it with sa'orim. Alma amarle, it sounds like the balasada can say to the magdish nitirusa desari kibili alai, I was only mekabel on myself the shmira of sa'orim and not the shmira of chitin. Sachanami amarle nitirusa dava kibili alai. So it's the same thing over here where the woman can say I was only mekabel upon myself the shmira of kesef and not the shmira of zahav. So I don't need Rava to teach me that din in the context of a guy giving a dinar to an isha. I know it anyway because the braisa tells it to me in the context context of Niskei Eish. So the Gemara explains, how do we know how much that which was Tamun Be'esh was actually worth? Meaning if you assume that you're like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're Chayiv and Tamun Be'esh, who's going to tell us what was actually Tamun there? So Amar Rav Shamit Milsa, Rabbi Yehuda, V'lo Yadad Amayhi. I heard some sort of halacha, according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, who's Chayiv and Rabbi Yehuda, who's Mechayiv and Tamun Be'esh, and I don't know what the halacha was. So Amar Shmuel says, Rav, V'lo Yadad Abba, May Shmielei. Does Rav not know? Rav's name was Abba. The Gemara Chulin says it's Machlok Drashi and Tosos and Yivamis. If his name was Rav, or his name was Abba, and they called him, one was a Lashon Chashivas and one was his name. So which one was a Lashon Chashivas? But whatever it is, he says you don't know. You don't know my Shmiele, what halacha you heard from Rabbi Yehuda? The Rabbi Yehuda, I'll tell you what halacha was. The Rabbi Yehuda, the Mechayev al Niskei Tamun Be'esh, Asu Takanas Nigzal Be'isho. The Chum made a takana on the person who lost out, whose items were burnt in the fire, that just like by a Nigzal, he has the right to take a Shavua of exactly the value of the items that were stolen. So too, when someone's Tamun items got burnt in a fire, he has the right to take a Shavua of exactly the value of those items and then get paid for those items. So that's a special takana that we allow someone whose items were tamun be'esh and were damaged, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where he gets paid for it, he has the right to tell us how much it was worth to in order to get paid for it. So baya meimer asu takanas nigzal b'masur Allah. What about by a masur? Someone has masur to his friend's mom to the malchus. So can the guy take a shavua how much was masured and therefore get paid for that? Tosus writes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that the case is that the masur is makhish the nimsar. That the one whose stuff was nimsar says, oh, it was $10,000 worth of stuff. And the masur says, no, it wasn't. It was $1,000 worth of stuff. So in that case, you're going to have to take a shavua. But if the nimsar says it was $10,000, and the master says, I actually don't know what it was. I just told the government, go take it. So then you're not even going to have to take a Shavua. It's going to be pashut then you'll take a Shavua, but it's obvious that you could take a Shavua. We wouldn't have a Shaila whether you have to take a Shavua or not. It would be obvious that you can get paid that full amount of the Shavua. But then Tosus quotes that the Reed disagrees, and he says that the case the Gemara is talking about is also a case where the Moser doesn't say anything, where he has no idea. That even in that case, we have a shaila whether a shavua is enough, whether we make a takana that the nimsar could take a shavua. So anyway, the Gemara has this shaila. Does a nimsar get to take a shavua about the value of the items that were masered? So if you assume like the shita that we're going to have later on, daf kuf yud zayin, that we don't dan dina de garmi, that a person is not chayiv for damage that was caused in a garmi indirect fashion, lo ti bayilach, the misir zami lo danina. Then there's no shaila because the master doesn't pay anything because it's only indirect. He didn't take the items. He just told the government that they could take it. He showed the government where it is. The whole shaila is only within the shita that we are in dina de garmi, that we actually do have to pay when you damage in this kind of indirect way called garmi. So asu takanas nigzal b'masar dimishtav v'shakel. Allah, do we make a takanas nigzal that the nimsar can take a shavua of how much it was worth and get paid that amount, or do we not make such a takana, and the moser only has to pay up to the amount that he's moda that he masered? So the Gemara says we're not sure. We don't have a way of resolving this question. Tosus points out whenever we have a teku in dina mamunus hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. However, Tosus quotes from Rav Haigon that yishba v'yitol mechza, that we actually don't say hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Any teku in dina mamunus mamunam mutzav savi cholkim, we split the difference and you pay half. So that's two deos in what we do with the teku on Dine Mamanus. Now, the Gemara tells us a Maisa that incorporates within the Maisa another suffix on similar grounds, whether we have this kind of takana that a guy could just swear as to how much the item was. There was a guy that kicked a wallet or a safe that belonged to someone else and kicked it right into the river, so it's gone. The Chronim discuss, why do you have to say that he kicked it into the river? Just say that he picked it up and he threw it into the river. So the Shach and Choshen Mishpat says that you see that we make a takanas nigzal not only with gezel mamish, but whenever you're mazik bimezid through pshia, that's also it's also open to the discussion of a takanas nigzal where the nigzal can take a shuva of how much it was worth. So anyway, I see the safe by the riverbank. I just kick it into the river. I have no idea what was inside that safe. So Asa Mare, the owner of that safe, can come. Came and he said, "Va'amar hachi v'achi avali bigava." Here's what I had inside of that. Yosef Ravashi v'kamayin. Based Ravashi was thinking about the case. Ki agav namayin. He says, "What's the din in such a case? I don't know what was actually inside of there." So I'm Ravina the Rav Acha Bere de Rava Ra'amri La Rav Acha Bere de Rava the Ravashi Lav Haynu Masnisin. Shouldn't we be able to derive this from our Mishnah, that if you light a building on fire, you pay for the contents of that building? Because it's normal for people to have contents in their homes and in their building. So whatever is normal to have inside of there, you're going to pay for it. So as long as what the guy's claiming was inside that safe is something that's normal to have in that safe, so you're going to have to pay for it. He says, you're right. If the guy said that in the safe he had cash, then of course I would say you have to pay for it, because that's what you keep in the safe. So I would agree. But hacha de katayin marganisa. But the case over here is that the Nizik was saying that there were diamonds in there, that there was something, not just cash. So my, mi manchi inshi marganisa bekaspata? Do people keep gems and diamonds in a safe, and therefore he's neman to say that that's what was there? Or do we not assume that people keep such things in a safe? Teku, so that's where what he left unresolved. So the suffix apparently is, do people, is it normal to put such items in the safe, and therefore he's ne'eman in his taina to be mechayiv the mazik to pay? Or do we assume that it's not normal to put something in there? Memela, he's not ne'eman in the taina that it's and the mazik is not going to have to pay. Now Tosus writes that the safek is not whether he's ne'eman in the taina. It's if it's emes that there even if it's the safek is even. If it's emes that there is a marganisa, I believe him. Yeah, you put gems there. The question is whether you're chayiv for that. Meaning, should it have been ola al das of the mazik that that's what was there? I mean, it's not that I don't believe you. Tell me there were diamonds there. I believe there are diamonds there. But just because you put diamonds there, it doesn't mean it's a normal thing to do. And if it's not a normal thing to do, then the guy who kicked the safe into the ocean had no reason to believe that there were diamonds there, and therefore he's only going to have to pay for what he could have expected reasonably to have been there. And diamonds may not be something that he could have reasonably expected to be there. So it may not be about the ne'emanus of the guy. It's about mimanchi inshi marganisa bekaspata. It's about should he have expected that people put such things there. Amli Rav Yemer Ravashi. So Rav Yemer said to Ravashi, in a case where you burn a building, where you pay for all the contents of the building, what if the guy says, I have a kos of kesef, a very expensive goblet that was burnt in the fire? Do we believe him about that? Meaning there was this happens all the time. Something gets someone's home, lo aleinu, gets burnt, gets destroyed in a fire. So they got to file an insurance claim. So they all of a sudden they have the most expensive items. They had expensive artwork and they had expensive this, right? So he says, I had this really really expensive antique silver goblet. Do we believe him? So he says, we'll see if it makes sense. Is this a wealthy person who would have expensive things? Inami, or even if he's not a wealthy person, inish mehemnuhu demafkadi and shikabe, if he has a reputation for integrity, where it's likely that if someone has something expensive, that they would give it to him, that they would trust him with these items. So mishtav v'shakil, then he could take a shavua that he had this item, and we'd believe him because it makes sense that he'd have such an item. V'lo, but if he's neither rich nor extremely trustworthy, where other people would trust him with their expensive items, lav kol kamine, then he can't just come with the taina that I had these very expensive things. We're not going to believe him in such a case. So again, we spoke about doing a takaras nigzal by tamun be'esh, that you could just swear as to what was tamun be'esh. We spoke about making a takaras nigzal by masur, when we don't know what the guy mastered. So can you take a shvutz to what was mastered? And we spoke about whether we believe a guy when it was a safe that was kicked into the river, that the nigzal can take a shvutz to what exactly was there and get paid for it. Now the Gemara shifts gears. What's the difference between a gazlan and a chamsan? They're both usher to do, but what are they? What activities would label a person in each category? So Amrlei, chamsan is yoiv dameh. A chamsan is someone who takes something that the guy doesn't want to give you, but then he pays for it. That's a chamsan. Gazlan lo yav dameh. Gazlan is someone who takes something that the other fellow does not want to give to him, and he does not pay for it. Samalei Shavad said, I yav dameh, chamsan krisalei. What? If a guy pays for something, and he pays fair market value for it, you're going to call him a chamsan? Vam Rav Huna, didn't Rav Huna say, Talua v'zavn zvini zvini? That if you force someone to sell you something, it's a binding sale. So if I force someone to sell me something, and I pay him the proper value of it, I may not be the nicest guy on earth, but it's a binding sale, so how can you call that a chamsan? So it says more lo kasha. Hada amarotzani, hada lo amarotzani. It depends if the person ultimately relented. So lo avizavin, that we say it's a binding sale, is that you force the guy, and the guy said, fine, I'll do it. So he ultimately relented, and therefore it is a binding sale. But if the guy never said rotzani, you just threw the money at him and grabbed the item, so then you're a chamsan, then it's not even a binding sale. And if he says rotzani, so then what? You didn't do any Avera? No, then you did the Avera called Lo Sachmod. It's one of the Aseres Hadibros, right? The Isra of Lo Sachmod is when you covet something badly enough that you follow through on it by actually forcing the guy to give it to you, forcing the guy to sell it to you. The Tosfos points out in our Sugya, based on the Sugya Bava Metzia, that even though it's a violation of Lo Sachmod, a person does not become Pasul Le'edus Midaraisa, and even if he's a Chamsan, he doesn't become Pasul Le'edus Midaraisa because he gave money, meaning even though one may have violated these Yisurim, but people think that it's only Asr if you don't give money. So since people don't realize that the Asr applies even when you do give money, so what Pasul Samon La'edos is when a person shows a lack of integrity in violating a halacha that he knows to be a halacha. But if a person doesn't think that it's a violation of the halacha, even though it may in fact be a violation of the halacha, then that would not pass the edus. Because the whole thing about passing the edus is, can we trust him, right? So if a person doesn't think of himself as a ganav because he doesn't think what he did qualifies, so then we can still trust him because he would never do something. He knows that you're not allowed to be meir edus sheker, right? He knows that certainly qualifies as an iser. Okay, so new Mishnah. Gates sheyatzim mitachas apatish. If a person is a blacksmith and a spark flies out, vihizik, and it does damage, chayif. So he has to pay for the damage that he did. And even though he's mafkir, the spark that came out, whether you chayiv isho mishum chitzo or whether you hold the isho mishum mamono, because even if isho mishum mamono, it's not dafka in the case where the fire is yours. Even if you light something on fire with someone else's fire, or a fire that belongs to hefker, we learned back in Tosos and Dafchav Bezom and Aleph, you're going to be chayiv. Rashi, however, said that l'man yam isho mishum mamono, you're only chayiv if it's your fire, not if it's someone else's fire. But Tosos said, like the Pashtos, even if you light something with somebody else's fire, you're still going to be chayiv. There's a further machlokes rishonim, if it means that you're chayiv mishum niskei eish, that it's your spark, or that you weren't shomer the spark properly, like that machlokes Rashi and Tosos, and since it damaged, you're chayiv like shoro hamazik. Or we're talking about that you hit with such force that it was mikocho that the spark went out, and you chayiv mishum adam amazik. So is it like that you own the item, this spark, and because you own the spark did damage, and therefore you chayiv for that, as if it's mamanu amazik? Or no, you created the spark with your koach, and that's what shot the spark out, so it's adam amazik. So Tosos earlier in the Masechta writes that from the fact that it's quoted over here, you see that it's not mishum adam amazik, it's niskei esh, because this Mishnah is in a series of Mishnayos that are all about Eish. So it must be about Eish, Yishum Shumamon, Yishum Shumchitzav, whichever way you want to say it. Whereas the Rambam does not write this this din in Hilchos Niske Mamon. He writes it in Hilchos Chovel Umazik. And he says the reason you're Chayiv is Hareza Chayiv Kemisha Zarak Chetz O Even. So it sounds like he's talking about it, that it's Adam Amazik, that the nature of the Chiyuv is Adam Amazik. Okay, but be that as it may, whatever the nature of the Chiyuv is, there is a Chiyuv. That if a person is a blacksmith and a spark flies out and does damage, he's Chayiv. Gomel Shayatotin Pishtan, if there was a camel that was carrying flammable material on its back, Vavar Rosh Hashanah, and was just walking the Rosh Hashanah, Vinichlas Pishtan Lutoch HaChanus, and the pile of Pishtan that was on its back encroached into one of the stores on the side of the road, Vidolka Benerus Shel Chenveni, and the candle of the Chenveni lit the Pishtan on fire, Vihidlika Sabira, and that in turn burnt down once it was on fire, so now that lit the rest of the building on fire, burnt down the entire building. So Bal Gomel Chayiv, the owner of the Gomel is Chayiv because he was Poshea. He didn't make sure that his flammable Pishtan didn't encroach on someone else's property. But if the Chenveni left the candle on the outside in the Rosh Hasharabim, then a Chenveni Chayiv, then he's the one that's Poshea, and therefore he's going to be Chayiv for all the damage caused. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'Ner Chanukah Pater, that the exception would be if it was Ner Chanukah. If it was Ner Chanukah, then it would be Pater, because the Chenveni has a right to leave the Ner Chanukah outside of the store. So what does that tell us about Ner Chanukah? So says Gemara, maybe this tells us an important halacha about Ner Chanukah. Amar Ravina Mishmei D'Rav Shmamina, we learn mid Rabbi Yehuda, Ner Chanukah mitzvah l'nicha b'toch hasara. That the ideal place to leave Ner Chanukah is within 10 tefachim of the ground and not above it. Because if you all that Ner Chanukah could be left much higher, so then Amay Yom Rabbi Yehuda Ner Chanukah Pater. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that if it was Ner Chanukah, the Chenveni is Pater for leaving it outside? He was still Poshea, because Le Malay, let the Balabira say to the Chenveni, Havale La Anucha Lemalame Gomel Verochlo. If you're allowed to leave a Ner Chanukah high up, then the responsible place to leave a Ner Chanukah would have been above the level of where a camel would normally go, and then none of this damage would have happened. Why did you leave it so low? It must be that he had a right to leave it so low. Why did he have a right to leave it so low? Because the halacha requires that he leave it so low, that he leaves it within 10 tefachim of the ground. So you see from here that you must leave that ideally Ner Chanukah should be within 10 tefachim of the ground. Elav shmamina mitzvah lanicha b'toch hasara, that it's a mitzvah to put it within 10 tefachim of the ground, and therefore the Chenveni can say, what do you want from me? I did what I was supposed to do. I put it within 10 tefachim of the ground. So says Mar, is that a good raya? So Amri lo, it's not a good raya from really, I'll tell you, you're allowed to put Ner Chanukah above 10 tefachim. My amrit, yibaylach lanucha lemala megamel v'rochvo. Why, you can have a taina on the Chenveni. You're allowed to put it higher up, so you should have put it higher up, and you should have thought of this, and you should have put it above the level of the gamel v'rochvo. Now, kiven de b'mitzvah ka'asik kulei aylo atruchu rabbanon. He was doing a mitzvah, so the rabbanon aren't going to be matriachim to put it so high up. So even though there is no halacha that you need to leave within 10 tefachim of the ground, it's not considered irresponsible of him to do so, to leave within 10 tefachim of the ground, because when a guy's doing a mitzvah, we try not to make his life too difficult, so we're not going to ask him to do something so inconvenient as putting it above 10 tefachim. Now, there is a machlok shishonim, how we paskin over here. The Rush and the Ram, right, that you we're not docha the pshitus of Ravina because of the dechia of the Gemara. Right, Ravina says what seems obvious from our Mishnah is that there's a mitzvah anicha b'toch hasar tefachim, and we said maybe not, maybe we just don't want to bother the guy, maybe. But Ravina was pretty confident, so we're going to go with Ravina, and there is taka mitzvah to put it within 10 tefachim. The Rambam and the Rif don't quote this halacha. Why don't they quote this halacha? Because they think we don't pass in this halacha because the Gemara rejected the raya from our Mishnah, and therefore there's no din of leaving Ner Chanukah within 10 tefachim of the ground. It's interesting, even though the Rambam and the Rif don't quote this halacha, and only the Rush does, Shulchan Aruch breaks his normal trend, where he normally follows the majority between Rambam, Rif, and the Rush, and he passes like the Rush. In Tafresh Ayin Aleph, in Aruch Chaim, Sivav, Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to leave Ner Chanukah within 10 tefachim of the ground. Amar Rav Kana Dorish Rav Nosson Bar Minyum, Mishmeid Rabbi Tanchum, Ner Chanukah Sheinich L'mal Me'as Ma'ama, Psula, Kisuka. A Ner Chanukah that's more than 20 amos off the ground is possible, just like a sukkah that's more than 20 amos high is going to be possible. So Ner Chanukah more than 20 amos off the ground is also going to be possible. Tosos discusses, you know, in the beginning of Masechta Sukkah, the Gemara explains that when it comes to a din daraisa like sukkah, we use the term possible. But by a mavoi, where the korel lemala mechafama is a problem, but that's only a din darabanan, we don't say possible, we say yima'it, right? We don't call it possible, we just say lower it down. Now Ner Chanukah, din daraisa or din darabanan? Ner Chanukah is a din darabanan. So according to the rule of the Gemara in Sukkot of Beis Amud Aleph, it should not have said Ner Chanukah is Pasul. It should have said Ner Chanukah is Malam Chavama Yima'id. So Tosfos says, well, we're trying to say Psula Kisukkah. So we're going to use the Sukkah terminology since the end of the sentence is Kisukkah. Or to say Yima'id would have required a lot more because you can't just say Yima'id. You would have to Kove, you'd have to be mechabe it, put it lower, and then relight it. So that would have been too tedious. So it's much easier to just say psula. There is a fascinating discussion in Achronon, in the Minchas Shai, he writes that someone who lights an Ner Chanukah and he puts in a proper amount of oil, and he lights the Ner stays lit for a small amount of time. Someone else comes and extinguishes the fire within the amount of time, and he takes the leftover oil. He does not have to pay for the oil, because the madlik was already yotzei his chiyuv, because the halach is kafsa ein zakukla, that if it gets extinguished, it's not your problem, as long as there was a proper amount of oil to begin with. And if it got blown out on its own within the shear of zman that it was supposed to light, you don't have to relight it. So therefore, the guy who took the oil didn't take anything. Then he says that's a davar pashut, that if it got extinguished on its own and someone else came and took the oil, that he's allowed to keep that oil, that he doesn't have to pay for it. From a Gemara in about a Shor HaNiskal, that there were Edom Zomim about him, that Kol HaMachzik Bo Zachabo, because since he was already, the Bailim was already Nisya'ish, and he was Mafkirit, so by Ner Chanukah also, the Bailim was Nisya'ish on the Shemen, because he knows that that's it, it's used for the mitzvah, and he doesn't think about it anymore. So if it goes out, someone is allowed to go and steal it. So in the Tshuvas Chavalim Ben Imim, he says, no, if the Maisa was before the last night of Chanukah, then Pashut, you're going to have to pay for the oil, because the guy could still use the oil on subsequent nights. And even if it's the last night of Chanukah, where you're going to have to burn the extra oil, but if a person takes the shemen, he has to pay for it. And the raya is from our sugya, that according to the Tanakhama, if you leave neru mibachutz, even if the ner is ner Chanukah, you're going to be chayiv, right? And the Gemara explained earlier on in the Masechta that according to Reish Lakish, ishos mishum mamono. So it's a raya brura that even by ner Chanukah, that tuktzul mitzvaso, we call that mamono. It's still called your money, right? It's only Rabbi Yudu said that ner Chanukah mibachutz, you're not going to be chayiv. According to Tanakhama, you are chayiv, but if Yisho Mishum Mamono, why are you chayiv? It's not your mamono. It's Hutzil Mitzvaso. Elamai, it is mamono, and that's why you're going to be chayiv. So that's the raya that they bring. Okay, Hadron Lachakonis, we now begin Perek Meruba. Meruba Midas Tashume Kefal, Midas Tashume Arba Vachamisha. Shemidas Tashume Kefal, Nohegas, Bein Medav Sheish Baruchayim, Bein Medav Sheim Baruchayim. Kefal, you're going to pay when you steal something, whether it's something that's alive or whether it's something that doesn't have life to it. You steal clothing or something like that, you're still going to pay kefel. Money, you're still going to pay kefel. Midas tashlumi arba v'chamisha, ein nohegas al b'shor v'seh bilvad. But the dalet v'hey, you're only going to pay if you steal and then shecht or sell a shor or a seh. Shenemar, because the pasuk says when it comes to dalet v'hey, ki yignov ish shor o seh utvacho o mecharo. So it says, chamisha bakar yishan tachas ha-shor v'arba tzon tachas ha-seh. So you see, it's only those items. If you steal an object that was already stolen by somebody else and you stole it from the ganav, you don't pay kefel, neither to the original owner nor to the ganav that you stole it from. And if you shecht or sell something that a ganav had originally stolen and you're not the one that stole it from the original owner, you stole it from him and then you stole it from the ganav and you shecht or sell it, you're not going to have to pay dalet vehei. That's what Tos Chadashman, the side of the Mishnah, says, of course not, because you're not going to have to pay kefel. And it's not gimel v'dalet, it's dalet v'hei. So if you're not going to have to pay kefel because you're a gonid ben aganav, so obviously there's not going to be a chiyuv of dalet v'hei. So the ilu midas tashlume kefel no. So that's what the Mishnah distinguished between kefel and dalet v'hei. So it says, well, interesting. V'ilu midas tashlume kefel nohegas bein beganav bein betoin tainas ganav, or midas tashlume arba v'chamisha ein nohegas ela beganav bulvad lo katani. It did not make another distinction between kefel and dalet. Dalet Vehei, and tell me that when you are towing Tainus Ganav, you pay Kefel, but when you're towing Tainus Ganav, you don't pay Dalet Vehei. The Mishnah never said that. What's towing Tainus Ganav? I'm a Shomer Chinam. You asked me to watch something. You came back for it later on, and I said, I'm sorry, I don't have it. It was stolen from me. I'm Pater. I'm a Shomer Chinam. I'm Pater on Gnev Aveda. And then it turns out it wasn't stolen from me. I took it myself. So I'm going to have to pay Kefel for that. So it doesn't say in our Mishnah, but I won't have to pay Dalet Vehei if I shechted or sold it. So from the fact that the Mishnah does not make this distinction, it's a riot. You do pay Dalet Vehei in the case of towing Tainas Ganav, just like you'd pay Kefel in the case of towing Tainas Ganav. So that's the first version of the discussion. The other version of the discussion is that we say, maybe our Mishnah is Taka or Riot, Rabbi Chiya Baraba. Dam Rabbi Chiya Baraba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Toin Tainis Ganav, because Misham Tashlumi Kefel, Tavach Mark Misham Tashlumi Rabbi Chamisha. Because he's the one that says that a Toin Tainis Ganav pays Kefel, and a Toin Tainis Ganav pays Dalet Vehei. So it sounds that way from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah did not draw the distinction between Kefel and Dalet Vehei in the realm of Toin Tainis Ganav. It must be that there is no such distinction. So says Gemara, just because the Mishnah didn't mention it, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Mikatani ain bain? Does the Mishnah say that the only differences between Kefel and Dalet Vehei are the following? No. Meruba Katani. It just says that there are more cases that you're going to be Chayiv Kefel than there are cases that you're Chayiv Dalet Vehei. And therefore, a ton of Ashayir, it's perfectly normal to assume that the Mishnah did not give an exhaustive list of all of the differences between Kefel and Dalet Vehei. There is a discussion in the Rishonim, what would be the case where you'd pay Dalet Vehei by Toyin Tainas Ganav? The Rambam and the Rosh assume that after your Nishba, that it was stolen from you, you were then Tavach Umachar. So, because if you were Tavach Umachar before you were Toyin Tainas Ganav, so then you're just like a Ganav that was Tavach Umachar while it's still in the base Bailin before the Ganeva, and you don't pay Dalet Vehei for that. Whereas Tosrit and the Ravid say, no, even if you were Tavach Umachar before you took the Shavua, you would still pay Dalet Vehei. But anyway, those are the two versions. But tomorrow we'll pick up with the drasha of Klalu Pratu Klal, where from where we derive which items you pay Kefel for. Everyone have a wonderful day.